The Fan on Demand. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, specifically UFC 140, a special holiday edition with four separate guests. Get you, get your spirits up and get you some gifts or get you some ideas for some gifts that you should be purchasing for that UFC or mixed martial arts fan in your life. Once again, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him on Twitter at Tyler Mason, myself at Showdown Joe, and some of the guests or the guests that we'll be having on just a little bit later on in the show. We will start things off with Damian Lau from Round 5, the figurines that we love so much. You probably saw the feature on Round 5 via UFC Central this year. We'll also be hearing from Thomas Gerbasi. He put together the UFC Encyclopedia, an absolute beast of a book. And when I say beast of a book, I mean, this thing could be used as a weapon, Tyler. I mean, this thing is massive. My son can't even pick it up. That's how heavy it is. When I first got the package in the mail to review the book, I was like, what is this thing, the brick? I opened it up and was completely flabbergasted by how amazing this thing is. We'll have Thomas talking about how that book got put together a little bit later on in the show. We'll also hear from my boy Mike Dolce. For those of you who follow mixed martial arts, he is the author of Living Lean, and you'll see that Dolce Diets shirt on many mixed martial artists, from Quentin Rampage Jackson to Tiago Alves to Mark Bocek to many, many others. And we'll wrap the show up with the legendary, who I believe one day will be in the UFC Hall of Fame, Big John McCarthy, to talk about his book, Let's Get It On, the making of the UFC, of Mixed Martial Arts Ultimate Referee. Super nice guy, good friend in the industry, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. We will start things off, a little recap of UFC 140 that went down at the Air Canada Center in Toronto last weekend. To put that event into words is virtually impossible, Tyler. You tell me, when you think UFC 140, Jones versus Machida, how do you encapsulate that exceptional event?
If I had to do it in one word, I'd just say finishes. There were so many finishes in this on this event. And if you started watching on the televised portion of the card on Sportsnet,
yep,
you got to see every single fight right through to the pay-per-view.
I mean, there were some exceptional battles. Good for Mark Bocek, by the way. Mark Bocek did a great job against Nick Lentz. Tough night for Krzysztof Szyszynski. Who would have thought he would have lasted all of 35 seconds with Igor Prokrajcic? I mean, that just completely baffled my mind. I thought for sure Krzysztof was going to use the striking to win that fight, and instead he got caught, wasn't able to catch up, and we saw what happened. John McDessie, I never thought for a minute it would be over that quick. Dennis Holman got a hold of him, took him down to the ground, put on that rear naked choke. I thought for sure McDessie would be able to showcase his striking skills, use his footwork a little more, but for the youngster, live and learn, correct?
Definitely. I mean, we said going into this fight on the feet, he was going to have an advantage, but this really was a test to see how he would deal with an elite grappler. I mean, I actually thought, because of the Holman coming in heavy, that, and he looked super lean, like he looked like he was kind of emaciated in that way, and I was,
Holman?
Yeah, Holman.
But he was 158, he was over.
And he couldn't cut anymore. I was thinking, oh man, like Holman's gas tank's not going to be very good in this fight. But it just shows that McDessie has some work to do on his grappling, and I think this is a really good lesson to learn, especially early in his career.
Of course, he's no longer undefeated, and I've said it a million times on the show. Sometimes fighters need a loss to really, wake things up, if you know what I'm saying. And there's nothing wrong with a loss. No one in mixed martial arts is going to go undefeated their whole career.
I did want to ask you a question pertaining to the Mark Bocek, Nick Lentz fight and the Claude Patrick, Brian Ebersol fight. Mm-hmm. Now, I know I personally thought Claude Patrick won.
Oh, he won that
the
fight.
Ebersol fight.
But that fight, all respect to Brian Ebersol, who, by the way, is a very smart guy. Super smart. My interview with him was exceptional. But
something interesting in the Nick Lentz-Bocek fight, because I thought Bocek, he did enough controlling in that fight to win that one as well. But Nick Lentz kind of had a similar strategy as Claude Patrick did, where he's going for that guillotine with someone on top of him. We've seen that, usually goes the opposite way. But really, Nick Lentz was trying to finish that fight. So I just wanted to get your take on, because Bocek won 30-27 on all the cards.
Yep.
And, Claude Patrick, it was kind of split down the middle. I just want to see, what was your take on the Nick Lentz-Bocek fight? Because Lentz was trying to finish it at times with that guillotine, but I don't think he got as much credit as Claude Patrick was getting for his guillotines.
I've got to rewatch the Lentz-Bocek fight one more time because it was one of those fights where I was in the media room and dealing with a whole bunch of other issues because we just finished the show. And they were showing it on the broadcast. Like, while that fight was going on, we did the live prelim show that headed into the Sportsnet prelims. So I didn't get to see the fight live. And then when I got to the room, they only showed a bit of it. So I've got to rewatch that fight. But I did see the Claude Patrick-Brian Ebersole fight cage side. And in my opinion, based on the question you're asking, it's pretty obvious. You always have to try and award the guy trying to finish the fight the points on the scorecards. But each fight is different. Each scenario is different. Claude Patrick did much more to try and end that fight than Brian Ebersole. It wasn't the most exciting fight. There was a lot of hand positioning, a lot of stuff going up against the cage. Fights like that happen all the time. But when there was some sort of action or when there was some sort of situations, Claude Patrick was trying to finish the fight. You can't really award Brian Ebersole a victory based on defense. You have to award it on the guy. If you're going to break it down to the bare minimum, you have to award the fight on the guy trying to finish the fight.
Yeah, and I agree. I did have Claude Patrick winning that fight as well. But that being said, it was a very close fight. I mean, it's not one of those type of fights where it was just, you know, a complete fiasco from the judges. I mean, the rounds in question were definitely close. I think the third round, Ebersole controlled the most part of it. But Patrick, I mean, despite what Ebersole said, Patrick had some close, you know, chokes with the anaconda and the guillotine there in that third round. So, I mean, Ebersole said he did. They weren't close, and I think there
he's
was.
He's going to say that, yeah.
I think there was a quote out there that he said the guillotine is a myth.
The guillotine is a myth, correct.
Which you know, I think someone like Marcelo Garcia would probably, you know, prove him wrong if he ever got caught in something like that.
I never knew you'd become a matchmaker.
But no. I just mean in training or something. But yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
It wasn't a complete, you know, robbery. It was a close fight that I just think Fat Patrick had the edge in.
The term robbery is used fairly loosely in the world of mixed martial arts when it comes to questionable decisions. Was Claude Patrick robbed? You can make that assessment that he was robbed. Is it a robbery? No. But at the same time, the way I score fights and the way I was taught by Big John McCarthy in the command course, that's the guy that should have won the fight. You know what? I don't know if Big John even saw the fight. Was he reffing that fight? No, he wasn't.
I think the only fight I remember him reffing was the main event.
Okay, we'll ask him if he saw it. But he's going to probably be very smart about it and politically correct because he can't really say too much about certain things. He might. I mean, it's Big John McCarthy. He can do whatever, say whatever he wants, to be honest with you. But we can bring it up to him. But the goal of having him on is to talk about that incredible book that he wrote that I read on two different UFC trips on the plane. So we'll stay to that. Other things that we're talking about, specifically Frank Mir and John Bones Jones. First things first, because you also want to get to our top 10, because we have some shows on sports that will be airing the following week. Top 10 stories, top 10 fights, top 10 KOs, top 10 submissions. You and I and the team went at each other really bad at the restaurant. We should sort of share some of those stories. But before we get to that, Frank Mir submission, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, as brutal as it was, people are saying, what if that submission happened on Fox, as an example? Well, I'll tell you what, if it happened on Fox, oh well. In my opinion, that's mixed martial arts.
I mean, that's all you could say. I mean, I don't think that would be the best introduction to mixed martial arts to the public.
It could be inevitable.
And it could definitely happen. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen a Kimura pop someone's shoulder. You know, Aoki and Hirota is probably the most prime example in my mind. I mean, I think that one was much worse than this one.
I am the byproduct of a guy that can never fight professional because both my shoulders have been popped due to Kimuras.
And I tell you, there's a big debate among grappling circles over when someone should learn the Kimura. It is usually one of the first submissions.
Yeah,
if not the first submission you learn. And because of the way the shoulder joint moves, it's a socket joint, moves a lot of different ways. People don't tap very early to Kimuras. And the unfortunate thing is it can really damage your shoulder. I mean, you don't feel a lot of pain until something goes wrong. And some people say that maybe this is a submission that should be taught, you know, later on, like just like kind of the way we treat footlocks in jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely. Now, Frank Mir is a bad, bad man. He's now won three straight. Remains to be seen what's going to happen with his career. He'd like to fight, you know, he'd be more than happy to step in for Alistair Overeem against Brock Lesnar. He wants Brock Lesnar. He wants that trilogy fight. He also says, hey, I'll fight Cain Velasquez if he's ready to go. So that could be interesting to see where Frank Mir heads next. Then there's Johnny Bones Jones, who, in my opinion, had the greatest year for a mixed martial artist in history. Four fights, came into the year as a prospect, became a champion, defeated three former champions, and Lyoto Machida. But people are complaining about what he did after he let go of the choke. He just let Machida fall down to the ground and walked away. And even his coach, Greg Jackson, is getting a lot of flack for saying, hey, John, go back and check on him, gain some fans. I mean, guys, first things first. When a fighter is in there, his zone is to finish his opponent. And once he finishes his opponent, everyone has different reactions. Your adrenaline is still at an all-time high. He came in this fight with a lot of pressure, people criticizing him. You're a fake champion. You're all hype. And Machida's going to take you out. And he finishes off Machida. To him, that was probably a very, it was satisfying to the ultimate degree. And he walked away. I mean, yeah, Machida fell like a sack of potatoes. Listen, it happens. I've seen people choked out like that on numerous occasions. It happens. Should he have gone back? Of course he should have gone back. But Greg Jackson saying that to him is simply saying, be cordial, be humble. And John is a cordial and humble guy. But there's so many people that are hating on John Bones Jones. Let me ask you this. Was John Bones Jones wrong in what he did? And was Greg Jackson wrong for what he said?
I wouldn't say that either of them are wrong. I mean, ideally, you'd like, if someone's asleep, you'd like someone to set them down. But in the heat of a moment, it's really hard to make all the right decisions at all the right times. I mean, every time we do this radio show, we're live and, we might have a thought in our head and we might stumble over our words. We might say something that we didn't really actually mean it the way it came out. You can only think, if you're in a fight and, John Jones lost that first round.
Yep.
And, a lot is going on. You're worried about your own safety, but you're worried about finishing your opponent. You're not really thinking about what are the most cordial, what is the most ideal thing I should do when my opponent has been finished. Ideally, you don't want to drop your opponent on his face like he did Machida. But I don't really think you can fault John Jones too much for that. The Greg Jackson thing, I think, is just funny.
That's just people hating nonstop.
Despite what he meant, I mean, maybe he did mean, yeah, go check on him and get some fans. I mean, part of the game is gaining fans. Maybe it paints Greg Jackson in a bad light for the fans of MMA and the UFC.
Another guy that's arguably one of the nicest guys in the industry, and haters.
And you know what? If he says something like that and people interpret it as like, oh, he's fake. He says these things out loud, but he acts a different way when he doesn't think the cameras are around. They can. And Greg Jackson, just like anybody, anytime anyone says anything, they have to, kind of take responsibility for it. Maybe it didn't come out the way he meant it. Maybe he actually meant it that way. It's really for people to decide once they hear it. But to me, it's more funny than anything else.
All right. What's not funny is our top 10. Our top 10 list for the year. We will start off with top 10 fight. Who was your top 10 fight?
So I guess we're going to do our personal top fight. My top fight is got to be Shogun Henderson.
I agree 100%. Both Chandler and Alvarez are right up there.
That was definitely a good fight too. For me, it'd probably be Edgar Maynard right up there if I had the balance between. But
absolutely. Top knockout of the year goes to?
This is a personal favorite. I know one of the top ones has got to be Machida and Couture, but my personal favorite has got to be Dos Anjos on George Sotiropoulos.
That was absolutely epic. I'm not going to tell you my top 10 knockout because I want you to watch the show when it airs, I think next week or the following week. But I will say that that Sotiropoulos getting killed like that was just something that caught everyone by surprise. It was absolutely incredible. And I do want to say Alexis Villa knocking out Joe Warren doesn't make our top 10, and it should.
What was crazy? This was the year of the knockout. We had like 40 knockouts.
It was ugly. It was crazy. The conversation that we had. What about submission? Your top submission? Don't give me your top submission. Give me one of your top submissions.
I'll say one of my top submissions has to be just recently on the Ultimate Fighter 14 finale.
Oh, you just took mine.
Brandao and Bermudez. That was just because the way the fight went, the reversal of fortune. I mean, it was going back and forth and then you got that armbar.
I concur. And you can't give away your top story, but what is your top story of the year? Or one of the top 10 stories.
Okay, so if I can't give away my top story, I'll find a different one here. But I'll say the one that I threw out there when we were all meeting about this is the heavyweight division. I think that was one of the top stories, just the way everything kind of came about. And we were looking for that culmination, after the GP, but we'll have to wait till next year. But I think that was kind of a big story.
I won't give you the top one that's going to be on UFC Central, but Nick Diaz was one of the biggest mayhems of the year. And I like this guy's unbelievable. He's a huge pay-per-view draw. We will have our guests coming up after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. Once again, my co-host is Tyler Mason. You can catch him on Twitter, at Tyler Mason, myself, at Showdown Joe. For those of you that have ever seen pictures of my office at home and my old office at the old place and the new one at the new place. And what I do is I don't keep these things at my desk at Sportsnet because I absolutely love them. and they're courtesy of Round Five. They're the figurines. I absolutely love these things, the way they're designed. And there's so many different types and kinds. If you watched our feature that we did on Round Five on UFC Central, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But joining us right now, because I think this is one of the best gifts you can buy your UFC friend, family, or fan, is Damon Lau from Round Five. Damon, what's going on?
Showdown Joe, what's going on, brother?
What's up? Talk to me. What's going on this year with some of the Round Five stuff? I got a nice little package. We won't say from who, because you'll probably get upset with me. But I got a nice little package. I opened it up. I'm like, whoa, where am I going to put these ones now? But there's some nice characters this year.
Yeah, you know, we've been we really sort of kicked it up a notch this year and pushed out assortments that we think that people would like. Obviously, you know, we're a Canadian company, so we've been doing new versions of GSP. Brock Lesnar, John Jones, obviously, who, you know, really kicked butt in his title defense against Lyoto Machida last week, and have a whole bunch of stuff that's available at Walmart right now and also HMV.
We'll say it. John Byer. John Byer's the man. Let's be honest. He's the one that sends me the stuff. But let's talk about some of these guys here. You got champions on there. I don't know if I have Frankie Edgar. I'm just saying that for saying that out loud.
Frankie's out too as well. You didn't get the Frankie Edgar championship edition?
I might have it. I will double check at home. I've got so many right now. But Tyler is pointing at himself. But let me ask you this. I mean, you can get these pretty much, I wouldn't say anywhere, but they are available. I think they're a great gift. Which one are the hot sellers right now?
You know, it's a funny thing. Obviously, GSP specifically does well in Canada, but you'd be really surprised. You know, a lot of people always ask me, you know, Damon, who are, you know, the best sellers that you guys have? And right now, I can tell you for a fact that actually outside of GSP, at Walmart, Frankie Edgar is number two.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. After those performances he's had this year, he's got, you know, he's one of the best fighters of the year. I don't want to give away too much for our show, but you have all the champions, I believe. You got Junior Dos Santos, you got Frankie Edgar, you got Johnny Bones Jones, you got George St. Pierre. I'm looking at Roy Nelson right now. I think it's a great character, Roy Nelson. You got Brock Lesnar, you got Jose Aldo. If you would pick, who would you tell people to buy this year?
You know, it just really depends on, you know, I think for everyone has got that guy that they, you know, they're a big fan of their fighting style. For me, honestly, if I had to pick anything for myself right now, I would get the new John Jones sculpt. That is just coming out right now this month at Walmart, and should be actually in Zellers next week too as well. But the new John Jones sculpt is awesome. It comes with a UFC championship belt, and actually I think it's one of the most realistic sculpts we've done to date. So
that's the one on the website right now, right?
Pardon me, say again?
That's the one on the front page of the website right now?
I believe so, yes.
All right. So, by the way, it's round5mma.com is the one I'm looking at, and there's also an Ariane Celeste figurine.
Yeah, the Ariane, the crazy thing with the Ariane is that when we decided to do Ariane, we sort of did it as a chaser figure. And for those of you that aren't a collector, a chaser figure is something like we don't put them in every single box. We place them randomly. So if you're actually able to get an Ariane and you find it in stores, they actually go on eBay for around $50 or $60 already. So,
wow.
You know, it's if you see it, you should probably just buy it and put it on eBay if you wanted to. But yeah, it's actually worth quite a bit.
Well, there's Nate Diaz, there's Uriah Faber, and hardcore guys like myself and Tyler are visibly upset. Boss Rutten is sold out.
You know, the Boss Rutten is, you know, we sold that as an online exclusive, and I honestly, we only made 2,000 of them worldwide. I never thought that they would sell like they did, but we actually sold all of them in less than 24 hours, I believe. It was a crazy thing. But
Damon, I know where you live, okay? I know where the office is. I will find a Boss Rutten.
Boston comes with the old school championship belt too. He did beat who did he beat? Kosaka?
TK. Yeah, it was TK.
Yes.
That was the fight where he basically said, "Tell me how much time is left. Tell me when there's 1 minute left." And he just switched gears. It was an exceptional performance. But we got to get to our next guest, Damon. Thank you very much. Just let people know where can they get them. You know, how much are they worth in general?
Well, you know, it depends. So right now, if you go to they're available at Walmart, Zellers, HMV, average price anywhere between $12.99 to $14.99. You know, if you find the rare ones, you know, usually they could be worth anywhere between $100 to $200. So go out now, and it's probably the perfect gift for a UFC fan.
We want to thank you very much for your time, and I'm going to get Baron, your brother, on my side. I will find a Boss Rutten somewhere, and it will be in my office.
Okay, sounds good, bud.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it very much. There you have it. Damon Lau from round5mma.com. You got to get a hold of these things. These things are absolutely amazing. I'm actually buying a couple tomorrow or Saturday when I hit the mall, because there's a bunch of my friends that will not stop hounding me for certain characters. Obviously, George St. Pierre. I got some pals that want the Ariane Celeste, and we will get to that. I'm a big fan of the Jose Aldo and Roy Nelson, Tyler. Let's be honest. BJ Penn?
I even see there's a Bruce Lee one.
The Bruce Lee one is awesome. We're going to move forward, and we're going to go to this thing that I got in the mail. Like I said earlier on the show, it nearly took my shoulder out. It was the UFC Encyclopedia put together, by Thomas Gerbasi, a guy that I've been following for a very, very long time, from way back in the boxing days to when he was brought over to the UFC, a guy that probably knows more about combat sports than this whole building combined and this whole city combined. This guy's been around for a long time. And the fact that he put together this, you know, I don't know if it's a good word, but this beast of an issue is unbelievable. Thomas, are you there with us?
I am. And I apologize to your mail carrier for having to deliver that.
You need to talk to my doctor and chiropractor, because I nearly threw my shoulder out lifting this thing up.
But let's just say I had to take care of the UPS guy pretty well this holiday season, because he wanted to murder me.
I don't disagree with that. First things first, I get the book, I open it up, and I don't know where to start. Because it's one of those things where, okay, let me look at it real quick, let me skim through it, let me take a look. I had to just sit there, and it took me, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm about 3/4 of the way done. It's just so much information, it's so big. I mean, I could just imagine me just trying to read it. What about putting it together? How long did it take you to put this thing together?
Well, we started in January, finished up at UFC 130, so final deadlines were like a week later, so first week of June. And it feels a lot longer. But let's just say I work out of my office at home, and my wife didn't see too much of me for those 6 months.
There's so much information. Oh, talked about wives not seeing me. I hear exactly what you're saying in terms of the spousal situation. But going back to the book for a moment here.
It's going to get worse next year, too.
I know. And Dana keeps bugging me. Oh, whatever, Joe. You'll see Showdown 35 events next year, and I walk away. It usually ends my interviews with Dana. That's how bad it is. And looking at this book, and there's so much information in there, I thought to myself, I tried to put myself in your position, thought, you know, if Thomas was putting this together, what is the most taxing portion of putting this together, because there's so much information?
There were a lot of Pat Miletich fights, from the early days that were kind of taxing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back, and the real time-consuming part was going back and watching, you know, a lot of the old events. You know, I had covered basically everything from 28 on, either for magazines or websites, and then with the UFC. So I had basic notes on all of those events, but going back, you know, 27, back to the first one, and then watching it and writing it up as if I was there, that was the big time-consuming part.
Now, in terms of, this is a question I always get asked in various interviews across the country, even when I come south of the border, people say, hey, Showdown, what is your greatest mixed martial arts fight of all time, especially what just happened with Shogun and Dan Henderson? And, you know, you're asking me to go back 18 years, so I thought I would relay that back to you. If you, putting this together, this book, if you could pick one fight that stands out to you that says, you know what, that might just be the greatest fight that ever take place in the octagon, can you pick one?
Well, I'm glad the Henderson-Shogun fight came after the book, so I don't have to include that one, because that'll probably shoot to the number one spot. But I may have a weird pick than, you know, most people would have, and not to knock any other of the great fights, but one that always stuck out in my mind was the Nogueira-Couture fight in Portland a couple of years back.
Yes.
I wrote it up as, you know, our version of Ali Frazier 3, because it was two guys, you know, a lot of people were not expecting a lot out of that fight. They said, these guys are past their prime. You know, this is just, you know, a way to get Couture a win in his home state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nogueira was coming off the Mir fight, but these guys went at it for three rounds, high-level stuff, two of the greats, and to be able to be there live for that, that's one that always stuck out. And I can watch that fight over and over. It never gets old for me.
Two things of that fight that kind of bring a little spark in my ear. Before the pre-fight press conference, I had a conversation with Dana White. We did a little pre-fight interview, and I said, Dana, is this one of the hard fights to promote? Because they're such nice guys. There's no hatred. And he's like, Joe, you've been around. When these two guys step in there, you know it's going to be a great fight. So I said, you know what? I'm going to ask you that at the press conference. He's like, you can try. So I asked him, and he gave a really candid answer, and same sort of thing. But then I remember watching I think it was the third round, and it really kind of brought everything full circle for me. And I said, as long as Randy Couture is breathing, As long as there's blood running through his veins and as long as his heart is pounding, this guy will never give up.
Yeah, and they fought like they were mortal enemies.
Yeah.
You know, shake hands before, shake hands after, but for those 15 minutes, it was on for 15 minutes, and it didn't let up. And, I'm thinking, you're a 20, 25-year-old guy. You look at these two quote-unquote old guys, and you'd have to go in and run a couple extra laps in the morning because, you know, these guys showed the young kids how it was done.
Looking at this beast again, UFC Encyclopedia, which you can you could buy online. You can buy it at various bookstores here in Canada. The question that begs to mind, and I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times since the release of the book, will there be a second version?
I hope not anytime soon. I do get asked that, and I have the same answer. I'm sure in a couple years,
in a couple years, there's 35 events next year.
Huh?
There's 35 events next year.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, let's be honest, Thomas. We're going to hit UFC 200 within the next couple of years. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, with the book, I wanted to include everybody in the, you know, capsule bios we have, you know, that occupy the first half of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess Brady Gaines and DK didn't want to give me an 800-page book. And I keep mentioning that I'd like to get everybody in there. But by the time, you know, we revisit this topic, we may be looking at a 1,000-page book and, it'll cost $800 to ship it.
I do not envy you because I sort of envy you, but it is sort of similar to the job that I do, watching fights nonstop, analyzing, breaking them down, writing articles about them. But to put this together, I mean, all I would have to do is type up an article. You've got to make it look good. And I think you've done a spectacular, if not fabulous job, the way it's laid out, the way it's great for people to read this. And I have to commend you for a job well done.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. Just don't recommend that we do another one anytime soon.
Guess what? I'm talking to Dana next week, and I'm going to say it right away. No, I appreciate. Listen,
no.
I want to wish you and yours the very best of the holiday season. Thank you very much for coming on there. I apologize for the short segment, but we'll catch up in the very near future.
No, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. My best to you and your family as well.
There you have it. Thomas Gerbasi putting together an absolutely exceptional piece of work here. I recommend it, if not just to try and lift this thing, let alone going through it and reading it. Tyler, you got to definitely see this thing.
Yeah, I already text my family to pay attention to today's show.
Oh, so they're good. There's one sold right there.
I told them, pay attention. Christmas is coming up.
I'm telling you, this thing is, and it's the third time I'll say it, it's a beast. It's unbelievable. But one thing, speaking of beasts, we're going to have two of them coming up after the break. The first one is Mike Dolce, who used to be a power lifter, but now is considered the patron saint of weight cutting for mixed martial artists, as well as Big John McCarthy, who is the man when it comes to putting together the rules and refereeing and officiating in mixed martial arts. You hear from both of them after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. This is The Showdown. Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and a special holiday edition on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Once again, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online at Tyler Mason. What do you call me, Santa Showdown now back there? Is that what you guys are doing? You can catch myself on Twitter as well, at Showdown Joe. You can check both our Facebooks and make a mockery of what we do, which is standard procedure here in the Great White North. One of the guys that I've grown very fond of over the years in terms of just what he brings to the table is Mike Dolce. Not because, you know, his vicious knockouts in the IFL. We'll digress to that another time there. But what he's done for so many mixed martial artists in terms of getting to the scale. Most people don't understand what it takes for a mixed martial artist not just to fight and take on another man who's aiming to submit them and knock their head off. But there's a fight before the fight. A lot of it is mental. A lot of guys make mistakes, and that usually happens in the weight cutting process. Mike has done wonders for so many mixed martial artists and recently came out with a book called Living Lean, which he sent my way, and I read it. And the first thing I did was, okay, look at these workouts. I've added the workouts to my schedule, But I also start taking a look at some of these recipes. And the first thing I have pretty much every morning is the breakfast bowl. And I absolutely love this thing. And no longer am I having my cereal and chocolate chip or Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. Mr. Dolce, are you on the line with us?
I am on the line, Joe. How you doing?
I am doing great. Unfortunately, we continue to miss each other at various events. I was hoping to catch up with you in Toronto to say thank you very much for the book and to let you know that, yay, my breakfast bowl is happening pretty much every morning.
I am very happy to hear you're enjoying the breakfast bowl. I'm sorry we haven't seen each other recently, but we'll be seeing each other soon. And when we do, I know you'll be a shadow of your former self.
And that's what everyone is saying. Burt Watson is one of the key figures at the UFC. It says, Shodan, what's happening to you? And I'm like, well, the workouts are in, and it's Dolce. I'm living lean like Dolce. But I have a caveat, Mike. I've got one caveat. I'm leaving for Italy next week, and I'll be there for 3 weeks. I might be in trouble.
Mangia, that's what I say as a self-respecting Italian. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, enjoy the country over there. And when you get back, you're right back on board.
So here's the deal. You know, you understand that I cannot tell my dad and my stepmother that I will not eat their food, but I did tell my brothers there better be weights and a mat over there because I'm only bringing two things. I'm bringing Living Lean and I'm bringing my skipping rope.
That is awesome. I love it. And maybe you can influence them just a little bit to live a little bit leaner.
I will do the best as I can. But let's talk about the book momentarily, which has become, by the way, a bestseller in Canada. Congratulations on that. What made you put this book together?
You know, it's something that I've been working on for a while, conceptually speaking, and I felt the need after we released 3 Weeks to Shredded in 2008, which is a weight-cutting manual, and we were just shocked at how well that had done. It's sold now in over 90 countries. It's done exceptionally well. But that was for fighters specifically. And we're fortunate that it was able to branch out farther than the fighter market. But Living Lean is really, as you've seen, Joe, it's more a book for everybody. And with, you know, my work with guys like Vitor Belfort or Rampage Jackson, you know, guys that actually have families. I'm working with these guys, they're pro athletes, and the wife has to make a meal for dad, who's the pro fighter, who's cutting weight.
Yep.
She has to make a meal for herself, and she has to make a tasty meal for her kids. And I would see this dilemma. And I thought, well, Jesus, let's cater some specific recipes that can cross the board from the athlete. So the athlete has what he needs to compete at the UFC level, the highest level in the world. But also mom can eat and enjoy the delicious meal, and it's easy to prepare. And the same thing for the children. And that was kind of the inspiration. But as, you know, I move a little bit further, you know, you see I have gluten-free and vegan recipes also. So we're not excluding anybody, whether it's a moral, it's a ethical, it's a physical limitation or lifestyle choice. So that's kind of the inspiration that went into Living Lean.
Here's a I'll go through a list here of some of the guys that you've worked with, but I'll leave one guy to the very end. You've worked with Rampage Jackson. You mentioned Vitor Belfort, Thiago Alves, Chael Sonnen, Gray Maynard, Nate Quarry, Mike Pyle, Jay Heron, Mike Bisping, Ed Herman, Chris Lieben, Dwayne Ludwig, to name a few. But there's one guy who, when I was at the Rain Training Center, and Mark Munoz and Christoph Szczesny said, Joe, Jake Ellenberger only has to make weight 170 pounds for 3 minutes a year, and that's when he fights three times. How does this guy get from 200 pounds plus to 170?
Jake is, I'm blessed to be able to work with Jake, and I was teammates with Jake years ago up at Team Quest. We fought in the IFL together, and you know he's a close friend, and I'm fortunate now to have a coaching role on his team to help him make weight in a proper, healthy fashion as a professional athlete should. But like Mark and Christoph say, it's literally, you know, for that minute where we, you know, I call it the check mark technique, where we keep Jake as heavy as possible. I mean, literally, you know, 190-plus pounds all fight week, and then we just drop him down for that very last minute. He touches down at 171, and he's right back up into the, you know, mid-high 80s 2 hours later, and he gets in the cage, you know, 92 to 94 a night later, you know, Saturday night.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, he's a super stud. But also, Canada's own Mark Bocek is the newest addition to that list, which, you know, I'm just super proud to be working with Mark also. I just wanted to put that out there.
And if I didn't mention his name either, he's going to probably choke me up. But that's a good thing that you mentioned it. We'll close us off real quick. Tell us where we can get the book. But I want people to understand one statement that you make on the very front cover. It says, don't count calories, make calories count.
Absolutely. in my experience, I've been doing this for over 20 years as an athlete, as a coach, you know, and all those things. The only people I find counting calories are the people that are eating something bad in that moment. The fit, the healthy, the lean individuals, we know how to eat. We don't count calories. We know the nutrient, the food choices to make. We make the right choices. We live the right lifestyle. We train when we're supposed to train. We stay accountable. And then when we want to eat bad meals, it's because we've earned them. So don't count calories. Make calorie count. It's kind of the tagline we do use on the front cover. And that's a great way to look at the lifestyle. You're eating the right foods. You don't have to worry about counting the calories.
All right. You can catch the book, let me guess, Amazon and here in Canada, all across this great country.
Absolutely. Amazon, it's actually online now at Chapters. It's going to be in Chapters soon, and they're getting the price point fixed out. We're dropping the price, you know, for the Canada, because I just love Canada. We've been so well received up there, which is absolutely amazing. So Amazon.ca and, you know, Waterstone or Chapters there pretty soon. And then the Dolce Diet, that's my website. You can always go there and find everywhere else around the world.
Bingo. Thank you very much for your time, Mike. Enjoy the holiday season.
Joe, thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate being on here.
There you go. There's Mike Dolce, the author of Living Lean, a book I highly recommend and one that will be in my suitcase, perhaps my carry-on bag, Tyler, when I head out to Italy in less than a week's time. But joining us right now might be the man that I look up to the most in this industry for a variety of reasons, not just because he is the standard for mixed martial arts officiating and judging, but just because he's like the coolest cat out there. Big John McCarthy, this book, Let's Get It On, The Making of MMA's, I think it's The Making of MMA and Its Ultimate Referee. This thing is absolutely amazing. What made you write this book?
I lost my mind.
I never thought I would ever hear the day that you would write a book.
You know what? Neither did I. It was, I never ever thought about writing a book. It wasn't something I intended to do or really wanted to. I was kind of talked into it by, Loretta Hunt was really the one that talked me into it by saying, you know, there was a lot of history for MMA that was being lost, and people were, you know, coming into the sport late and not understanding, you know, the people that had actually done things and made things happen and worked hard to get the sport to a certain point. And that was really the whole reason that I ended up writing it. She talked me into it that way, and it was, I thought that people like Jorge and Gracie, you know, people need to know that he's, you know, he was the guy that had this, you know, dream of doing this thing and brought it about. And then, you know, guys, you know, Art Davey, who was very instrumental in getting it going, got it on TV. You know, Bob Meyerowitz, who's put his money behind it. Jeff Blatnick, who, you know, did a lot for the sport. Everyone's kind of like forgotten him. And that was the real reason that I ended up writing the book.
And thank you very much, Loretta Hunt. By the way, she's got a great book with Randy Couture as well. But this one here, I think she encapsulated so much because I could just vision her writing this after speaking with you, because you and I have swapped so many different stories, and I use you as a resource so much. There's some stories in this book that are absolutely mind-boggling that even I didn't know, and I've been watching the sport since day one. You mentioned guys like Art Davey and Jeff Blatnick, who I thanked at the Air Canada Series. Thank you very much for the memories. He's just such a guy that doesn't get any credit whatsoever. But you mentioned Horion Gracie, but you also, in the book, made it clear about the Grandmaster Helio Gracie. He is the man that created mixed martial arts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, God, you know, Joe, people say things, and, you know, and it's when you look at this, what mixed martial arts is, it was what, you know, Helio Gracie and his brother created down in Brazil. It was what Horion grew up seeing his father do, and Horion brought that to the United States. And if you met Helio Gracie, this is a guy that, I mean, he was so humble about everything that he ever was part of or did in life, but he was so magnetic as far as once you met him and you talked to him, even though he was speaking Portuguese and you were getting translated, this guy was amazing. This is one of those guys that it's rare that you get to meet that kind of person in life. And a lot of people can sit there and say, you know, well, Bruce Lee did this and that. Bruce Lee, I no disrespect, he got me into the martial arts. He got me interested in it. But he was an actor who was very good at martial arts. And Helio Gracie was a fighter. And Bruce Lee, you know, although I think he was a tremendous martial artist, he was not a guy that fought. And Helio Gracie proved his style. He fought until he was, you know, into his late 40s. And that's the man that is the godfather of mixed martial arts.
And I concur 100%. And I remember reading, and I don't want to give it away because I want people to buy the book, to go through what I went through when you basically describe yourself and Loretta, the genesis of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Before there was UFC 1, there was a few steps that had to take place to get Horion to start thinking for UFC 1. And I remember reading that and thinking to myself, Loretta, you beat me to it, because that is the greatest story I've ever read. And it's in this book. And I think people, just for that story alone, need to pick up this book. But let me ask you one question before we go. Is there anything in the book that your wife Elaine said, John, really? You put that in there?
You know what? The honest to God truth behind the book with my wife is, in the very beginning when we started writing it, and then, you know, Loretta would, you know, talk to me, and she'd come back and with a written form of what we kind of talked about, and I would look at it, and honestly, I'd go, no, that's not what I meant at all. And I would sit there at my computer and I would retype it. And then my wife started seeing a couple of those, and she looked at some things that were on her, and was like, you could tell she got mad. And so she said, that's it. I'm not going to read anything. You know, you put what you want. It's your book. And, you know, she really didn't tell me anything as far as what I should write, anything like that. And the first time that she actually even read the whole thing was when the book came out. She sat down and read the book and then came back and gave me her 2 cents worth, which was actually really good. She said she enjoyed it, and she really thought I did a good job with it. So my wife has been very good about what came out in the book.
But here's the deal. I'm going to, one day when you're working inside the cage, I'm going to sit next to Elaine with a bucket of ice cream. I won't say why. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Get the book, people. You'll understand. I'm going to get a bucket of ice cream, and I'm going to get so many stories on you, John, and I'm going to share them with the world.
You will. She'll tell you everything.
All right, man. Thank you very much for your time. All the best to you. The little one, your grandparents now, congratulations. But all the best
to
you and the family. And tell Elaine I say what's up.
I will. You take care, Joe. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Big John McCarthy. Make sure you get his book, Are You Ready? Let's Get It On. It is a fabulous read from a man that helped put together this sport, who doesn't get the credit he deserves from so many different levels of media and other people in the game itself. And this guy, in my opinion, one day will be in the UFC Hall of Fame. Tyler, first things first. Thank you very much for another exceptional year. Want to wish you and yours the very best of the holiday season.
And same to you.
Are you going to behave yourself while I'm gone?
I will.
I find that hard to believe. What's one thing you're hoping for this holiday season, other than the 4 gifts that I just mentioned on the show?
Just some rest.
Some rest. Absolutely. That's why I'm leaving the country in less than 6 days' time for 3 weeks. But you know I'm going to have my laptop there. I'll have wireless internet at the house, and I might be spitting out some articles. But thank you again for a wonderful year. I really appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. You've been listening to The Showdown on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.